He was a resident psychiatrist in a maximum security prison in Pittsburgh for 30 years. And while he was there, he made observations that led him to writing a book called The Shame Response to Rejection.
How has science gone and dealt with his theories?
It was actually my father who told me about this experiment that had been done at UCLA way back in 2003. And basically, it was the breakthrough experiment that supported the idea that when people were excluded, that it showed up as physical pain in the brain. So the sort of underlying theory of the movie is this idea that these experiences of interpersonal rejection can connect to physical pain, not just emotional pain. And my dad's theory is that they can be a precursor to violence against the self or others. So there is a body of research out there. There's, I wouldn't say all, but a large group of these people who study do research on ostracism, exclusion, and rejection, and those people are featured in the film.
Some people take rejection better than others. Is there a personality type that deals well with rejection and keeps coming back until they triumph, or does everybody succumb?
It's a great question, and it's a complicated answer. Gerald D. Downey at Columbia University studies rejection sensitivity. I would say that the research shows that there are people that are more sensitive to rejection. It also depends on what type of rejection you're talking about, what the background of the person is. If they grow up in an environment of neglect and abuse, that is an environment of rejection. And I would say the research, as well as the, you know, non-clinicians, would argue that those people are actually more sensitive. Some of them are not, but many of them would be more sensitive to rejection, especially if they haven't gotten support or recovery or tools to help them become more resilient.
You use two personal stories to sort of frame the documentary. The first
Yes.
is kind of a classic bullied kid, 17-year-old Eric Mohat from a town outside of Cleveland, who was bullied in his math class every day for 7 months until he finally chose to end his life. Why did you pick him as an archetype that's valuable to explore this subject?
You know, the more I studied my dad's work and the more I studied the research, this idea that, you know, about 5 years ago, I think the case of Phoebe Prince was on the cover of People magazine, and she was a child who allegedly committed suicide due to bullying. And I thought, you know, that is exactly what we're talking about, that someone would be in so much pain, physical pain, not just emotional pain, that it could lead them to taking their own life. So this idea of bully side. And it just seemed to fit in exactly what we are talking about. And on the flip side of that, we, you know, we're talking about environments of rejection or acceptance. And Eric was in, it was a perfect storm. There was bullying happening. There was ostracism from his close group of friends. So we take these stories and look at them against the science and sort of let people decide for themselves what they think about it.
How does some of the science reflect on him?
We'll never know exactly. In the film, along with his parents and his best friend, we're piecing together. We're looking at a boy who was physically and verbally bullied for 9 months in his classroom in front of a lot of witnesses, if you will, not getting any help for it, really. And then 3 weeks before he died, ostracized from his close group of friends. So Kipling Williams, who's from Purdue University, the ostracism expert, looks at what happens to people when they feel that there's no way back, when they've been ostracized or excluded or rejected, and they don't feel that there's a chance of reinclusion. It doesn't lead to anything good. This has profound effects on people, and I would say the research shows that even those of us who are more resilient, these experiences have a profound effect on all of us. So if the most minimal experiences have a profound effect, even if we're good at coping with them, what happens when you are bullied to the extreme? What happens when you are ostracized from your close group of friends? What happens when it all happens at the same time?
If you survive, what are the coping skills that typically emerge that further distort what you were? You know, do they become a person who finds consolation in being alone, or do they become lonely?
I would say it's so individual. You know, on the negative side, a lot of people cope, we just touch in the movie on self-medicating. People self-medicate in different ways, through drugs, through workaholism, through, you know, a lot of different things, any sort of type of addiction. I also think on the flip side, people have turned their experiences of rejection in life into very positive, you know, jobs of compassion, jobs where they want to go help people who've experienced these type of things, or people who are on the margins of society. It's very unique based on the person's personality and also whether they have a strong family, if they're supported by their family, if they have close relationships in other parts of their lives.
Your second example is a five-year-old kid who's the son of Mexican immigrants. Tell us a little bit about his story, would you?
Sure. So Justin's story is a five-year-old Mexican immigrant living in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And when we meet him, he's just been kicked out of his other kindergarten, labeled a troublemaker, if not a bully. Apparently, he was in the principal's office every single day. And he lands in the class of a kindergarten teacher. Her name is Terry Varnell, and she's known for getting the quote-unquote difficult children of the district of the five different elementary schools. And so when you meet Justin, he's arrived there, and you're getting to know him, and basically Terry is saying she's, other than the first 2 weeks of having to work with him very closely, he's never been a discipline problem. He doesn't have a language problem, which is also what the other school was saying. So you see the trajectory of his life change when he arrives into an environment of inclusion and acceptance. And it's not utopia. It's not that everything's perfect, but it's this general baseline atmosphere that everybody is the same here. No one's better than anybody else, and this child is a part of this situation, and we're all in this together.
And that positive reinforcement can have good effects.
Absolutely, especially on the earlier side. You know, I think just the fact that Justin is 5 years old and he's getting this, you know, some people have worried, well, what if you get that when you're little? It's not the real world. But we would argue that that foundation of acceptance and inclusion at just the base level is just giving children a foundation for whatever they're going to face going forward.
What are some of the other potential remedies for the injuries done by rejection?
One remedy, especially immediately after a specific incident, is connect with other people. Connect with the people that you trust. Don't hold it inside. Don't isolate. As shameful, I think it's the, you know, people talk about the shame that binds us, and I think these experiences are profoundly shameful, and people usually very often turn it against themselves and think there's something wrong with themselves. The key is connecting. It's connecting to people you trust, connecting to your family, anyone. It could be a teacher. It could be one person that's just there to remind you that, you know, they care about you. Hopefully they love you, but at minimum they care about you and they care about your well-being. But don't isolate. Don't try not to turn it against yourself. Try to objectify the other person, that it really is more about them than it is about you, which is not easy to do.
Ruth Thomas Sue, the producer and director of the film Reject. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Charlie.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.